So how many of you plan to be here in 2019? I know we're only coming up on 2018, but how many of you plan to be here in 2019, right? And so most of us go into 2018 going, okay, I plan to be around in 2019. And I hope that, you know, if you're like most of us, we're sitting there going, I don't want to necessarily be the same person in 2019 that I am here. There are areas of my life that I'd like to have God work on. There's areas of my life that I'd like to see improvement in. And so what happens is we begin to set some New Year's resolutions. And some of you who are procrastinating, you're freaking out a little bit because the hours are ticking away and you're going, what is it or where is it that I'm going to... What is it I'm going to resolve to do in 2018? But really what we're asking ourselves is, how in the next year will my marriage be different? How in the next year will my study habits be different? How in my next year will my school be different? How in the next year will, you know, my job or my career or even my retirement look different? We're looking ahead, not just to 2018, but we're asking ourselves, in 1 year, how will things actually look different? How will my finances look different? When I was in middle school and high school, I used to buy myself a planner long before you had phones that could keep track of all this, which I'm so thankful for now. I used to buy myself a planner, and I literally, when I went to college, I had on my shelf in my bedroom at home before, as I was packing some things up to go to college, I had probably 8 planners on my shelf, and every one of them had kind of a January calendar that had the first 3 weeks filled out. And it was like in January, I'd go, I'm going to get organized this year. And for 3 weeks, I would be organized. And then it seemed to fall by the wayside. And it's so easy to allow that to happen. And so this whole series about moving beyond, this whole kind of begins with this premise that we'll talk about today with this idea. Living for tomorrow always starts today. Living for tomorrow always starts today. When we set in our mind that, hey, you know what? I want things to look different, and I want to grow my relationship with my spouse, and I want to be more organized, and I want to have God move in greater ways in my life, and I want to dive into God's word in greater ways. Always begins today. And yet, sadly for most of us, we will fall into the trap of kind of regular New Year's resolutions that we made, same ones that we made in 2014 and the same ones that we made in 2002 and the same ones that we made in 1996 and the same ones that we made in 1984. And the reality is that if we're not careful, we'll just let those things fall by the wayside once again. Barna Research actually says that there will be 90 million New Year's resolutions made this year. And only 8% of those people will keep. And the reason is because we tend to have this challenge where we will adopt the I'll do it later mentality. I'll just simply do it later. Instead of living for tomorrow today, we'll say, I'll do it later. In fact, you may recognize this if you're a parent, because we hear this quite often. I know I was guilty of it when I was a kid, and I know I've heard it from my kids also. You'll ask them to take out the trash, or you'll ask them to clean their room or do the dishes or any number of things, and they'll say these famous words, I'll do it later. And when they utter those words as a parent, you know something for certain, it's not going to get done. It's not going to happen, because in their mind, they're just simply going to do it later and it'll get pushed off to thing. And I see some nudging going on right now. But what happens is you have good intentions, but you just simply keep on putting it off. And we do the same things when it comes to resolutions or making any type of growth or improvement in our life. We feel God prompting us to be in even greater ways, a spiritual leader in our family or in our workplace or any number of relationships. And we'll say, God, I'll do it later. We hear God prompting us to, you know what, I'm going to love my spouse in greater ways. I'm going to honor them in greater ways this coming year. And then the busyness and craziness of life happens, and we simply say, I'll do it later. I'm going to get my finances in order. I don't want to be strapped anymore. I want to make sure that I have a level of financial freedom. And then all of a sudden, week 2 and week 3 in January happens, and then all of a sudden we're into May and then July, and all of a sudden we're going, I'll do it later. I'm going to get around to cleaning out that closet that hasn't been cleaned out since 1976. And for whatever reason, we end up saying, I'll do it later. We do this in all various parts of our lives. If you're a student here with this morning and you're a part of our worship together weekend that we have this weekend, you'll sit there and you'll say, you know what? I'll do it later. Like when I go to college, I'm going to settle down and really dive into God's word. I'll do it later. When I graduate, when I'll put it off to them. When I'm in my new college, then my life will be different. And then when you're after college, if you're in college and you're getting ready to graduate, you're like, well, when I'm in the workforce, that's when things will be different. Or when I'm married, or once you're married, it's when you have a child. And once you have a child, it's when you get the house. And once you have the house is when you get the bigger house. And it always seems like we're putting things off to later and things never get done today. If God has given you a dream, if he's given you a vision, if he's given you a direction for your life, if he has sparked something in you, what are you doing today to live that out rather than waiting for tomorrow? He's given you that dream for today. He's given you that direction for today. It doesn't mean that it's all going to come to fruition today, but what are you doing today to prepare yourself for tomorrow? What are you doing for today to make that come to fruition tomorrow? In this new year, you will embrace some type of pattern, some type of habit that will move you in a certain direction. The only question becomes, what pattern, what habit will you embrace? Let me give you an example. You know, some of you are going, hey, you know what? I really want to be healthier in this new year. And you can choose to develop a brand new habit of going to the gym. And you will frustrate every person that goes to the gym on a regular basis because you'll be there for January. But when February happens, and you can develop a pattern of getting healthy, or you can develop a habit of hitting the snooze button. You will develop a habit to one of those. The only question becomes, what habit will you develop? Will you develop a habit that will launch you forward and into a deeper, more intimate relationship with God? Or will you develop a habit that says, I'll do it later, and you simply never get around to it? And so in order to help us unpack this from a biblical perspective, I want you to do something that many of us have not done. I want you to open up your Bible to the Old Testament, the first half of the Bible, to the book of Haggai. And again, most of us have never spent much time in the book of Haggai, but the prophet has some things to speak into our lives today. Haggai is again in the Old Testament, the first half of the Bible. It's towards the end of the Old Testament. And we're going to be in Haggai chapter 1. And Haggai's a prophet who's speaking into the life of the people of Israel at a time where they actually have a level of freedom. Cyrus the Persian had come and he had overcome and conquered the Empire of Babylon in 539. And when he does that, he gives permission for the people of Israel to go back to Jerusalem and to begin to rebuild the temple. And this is an incredibly exciting time for the people of Israel. This is a time with new possibility. This is a time very much like we are sitting in right now, where we're in 2017, getting ready to step into 2018. And we're asking ourselves, what types of possibilities are for this new beginning? What type of possibilities are there for this new year? And so the prophet Isaiah claimed that this would be a time where restoration would happen for the people of Israel. And so he's so excited. And the prophet Ezekiel believed that this was the time where the new earthly kingdom was going to raise up as the people of God came back together and a new earthly kingdom was going to be established. The prophet Jeremiah believed that this season of time where they were going to be able to rebuild the temple was going to be where the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom would combine, and the Davidic kingdom that was once so strong would rise up once again. And so everybody was excited about the opportunity and the anticipation of what could happen in this new season. And yet this opportunity was being squandered because most people didn't return home to Jerusalem. Very few began to do anything that had to do with the temple. In fact, what began to develop was fighting and discontent and violence and hurt towards one another. And so that's where we find ourselves. In Haggai chapter 1, starting at verse 1, we read these words. On August 29th of the second year of King Darius's reign, the Lord gave a message through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Yeshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And this is what the Lord's heaven's army says. The people are saying the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. I'll do it later. Now, the reason it was so important to rebuild the house of the Lord is because within the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit has not yet come and taken up residency in the life of believers. And therefore, when God wants to reside among his people, where does he do it? In the temple. And so the temple becomes the place where people gather and they can make sacrifice. The temple becomes the place where the care of the poor and the foreigner can take place. The temple becomes the hubbub of religious life and God's activity in his people. And at this time, when Haggai gives this prophecy, when people are saying, I'll do it later, it's not like it was a couple of weeks or a couple of months or even a couple of years. 20 years had passed from the time that Cyrus the Persian said, Israelites, you can go home to Jerusalem and you can rebuild your temple. 20 years had passed since permission had been given to go and become the people of God once again. And the only thing that had been established for the temple was its foundation. 20 years and just the foundation. Now, I'm not an architect. I did work with my father-in-law as a mason for a while. And I know the temple is gonna be pretty grand, but 20 years and all you have is a foundation? All you have is the bare minimum for the building? And yet when I begin to think about my own life and I begin to think about who we are and kind of stepping into from 2017 and 2018, I think for a lot of us, we recognize, unfortunately, in our lives that we have just a foundation. And so what we're asking ourselves is in 2018, am I finally going to build on that foundation? Am I finally? And again, maybe you're a brand new believer and you're excited about stepping into 2018 to see how God's going to build up his spirit and his characteristics and who he is and his image in your life. But maybe you're the person who, you know what, you've been saved for 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years and all you have is a foundation that God laid. A foundation that says, you know what? I've received God's forgiveness. A foundation that God laid that said, I have received his forgiveness. And so I have the opportunity to grow in my relationship with God. But here you are 10, 15, 20, 30 years later, just with that foundation. And God has so much more for you. Maybe you just have a foundation in your marriage. You went through the wedding vows and all those types of things, and you said, you know what, we're going to grow this marriage, but it's been the I'll do it later mentality, so all you have is a foundation. You've never built upon it. Maybe as a parent, you say, you know what, I laid the foundation in those early years, but man, these teenage years are a lot tougher, so I'm not sure I've built anything in the last couple of years. All I have is a foundation. And I believe that God's word wants to speak to us to say, and say this morning, God's got more in store for you than just a foundation. He wants to build greater things in your life. He wants to build up characteristics in your life. He wants to build up the fruit of the Spirit in your life. He has more in store for you than just a foundation. And so we hear some of the angst develop in Haggai chapter 1, now in verse 3. Then the Lord sent this message to the prophet Haggai. Why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? Again, the reason this is so frustrating to God is because God cannot reside among the people until his temple is rebuilt in the same way that he, you know, in a significant way. This is what the Lord's heaven's army says. Look at what's happening to you. You have planted much but harvest little. You eat but are not satisfied. You drink but are still thirsty. You put on clothes but cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. And what we recognize from the passage, and the same thing that sometimes we do with these New Year's resolutions, is that they're all focused in on me. How am I going to be just better this year? How is my life going to be greater this year? The people of Israel were actually being very faithful. They were just being faithful to the wrong things. And so what does it look like to shift our focus from ourselves to the things of God? From the things that we think need to be improved in our life so that we might be happier to the things in our life that might need to grow so that we could give more glory to God. What if we flip the script? And instead of making resolutions that were all about us, we made resolutions that would shape our life to give God greater glory. in 2018? What if we shifted our focus and instead of putting our pursuits and things that are going to get holes in it and things that are not going to last in this kingdom world, but would give our pursuits to the things of God's kingdom, which will always last? Verse 7. This is what the Lord of heaven's army says. Look at what's happening to you. Now go up into the hills and bring down timber and rebuild my house. Then I will take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You hoped for rich harvest, but they were poor, and you brought your harvest. And when you brought your harvest home, I blew it away. Why? Because my house lies in ruins, says the Lord of heaven's armies. While all of you are busy building your own fine houses, it's because of you that the heavens withhold the dew and the earth produces no crops. I have called for a drought on your fields and hills, a drought to wither the grain and grapes and the olive trees and all your other crops, a drought to starve you and your livestock and to ruin everything you have worked so hard to get. Aren't you glad you came to church this New Year's Eve? Yeah. But here's what I think we need to be careful of. And part of our minds, we go, you know what? God is being so mean. Now, what would be mean is God allowing them to continue down this pathway towards destruction. And so he offers correction so that they will turn back to him. See, when we read these words, we think, wow, God is so awful. God is so mean. But the reality is, and maybe you haven't been here yet, maybe you're not, you know, hard-headed like I am, but there are times in my life where God had to bring my life into total drought before I turned to him. Times in my life where, you know what? He had to bring my life into total drought before I realized that he was my only option. And the people of Israel, finally, after 20 years of just pursuing their own wants and desires, and finally after pursuing their own dreams and desires and building their houses and life being all about them, God brings them into total drought and they realize their error. And there's corrective course. And God begins to move. It says, then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Yeshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of God's people began to obey the message of the Lord their God. When they heard the words of the prophet Haggai, whom the Lord their God had sent, the people feared the Lord. And then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave the people this message from the Lord. I am with you, says the Lord. And so the Lord sparked up enthusiasm, or stirred up the spirit within Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the enthusiasm of Yeshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the enthusiasm of the whole remnant of God's people. They began to work on the house of their Lord, the Lord their God, the Lord of heaven's armies, on September 21st of the second year of King Darius's reign. Now, I want you to notice what happens in this progression here, because I think it's really key. The very first thing that the people of Israel do is that they are obedient and they make themselves available. They didn't wait for their enthusiasm to be stirred up first. I think that's so key because, again, this is what happens. We make our New Year's resolutions, or we think about where God wants us to be a year from now versus now, and we sit there and we're like, okay, God, when are you going to stir up my spirit and make me excited about moving in this direction? And since we don't get excited about moving in that direction, or that excitement wanes after a little bit, after the month of January or after the month of February, maybe around May or maybe even in September, we stop doing and taking those steps forward in terms of what God is calling us to. And the significance of what the order is here is obedience and availability come first. How might you step in to 2018 and just say, God, I want to make myself available to you. God, I want you to order my steps. I want to start walking in obedience before I ever feel excited about obedience. And so the first thing they do is they make themselves available. And in making themselves available, they switch their focus from being focused on the things that they think are important to being focused on the things that God deems important. And then the third thing that happens is God begins to stir up an enthusiasm within them for the things of God. They start to walk in obedience and they begin to shift their focus. And here's the key. It's not one of those things. It's so beautiful because when their focus is in the right place and they're making themselves available, all of a sudden God begins to stir up an enthusiasm for the things of God, which means that they're not walking around going, oh yeah, I'm trying to allow God to grow me in 2018. You know, it's just something, it's my cross to bear. No, there's an excitement. There's an enthusiasm because they get to be a part of the things of God, that they get to allow God to stir up within them his things. And so they're obedient. They take their focus off themselves and place it on God, and then God moves. They stepped out in faith and said, okay, God, I believe you want me to walk in this particular area, and I am going to trust that you're going to stir up your spirit within me. Now, here's where I want to get really practical, because I think some of us will kind of walk away, if we're not careful, from a morning like this and reading this passage. Okay, I get it. I think I understand where you're headed, but how do I begin? And here's where I want to encourage you to begin. What word does God want to stir up within you in 2018? This is something I've done over the last several years in my own life, and I just felt compelled to share this with you today. Every year, I look to have God prompt me in a word where he wants to grow an area of my life. An area where he says, okay, I want you to just, man, when you wake up in the morning, it's a word that always seems to touch a variety of areas of my life, not just one area, but it seems to have this kind of this all-encompassing thing that he just kind of brings my attention to, and I begin to press into that particular word and say, God, okay, I'm gonna make myself available that you might teach me, that you might grow in me this particular word. And how I get there as I begin, and again, this might be a good time if you're not a note taker to take some notes. If you want to maybe consider doing this, you can take that on your phone, or there are the note sheets in front of you. But I begin with this. God, what word that if it was shaped in my life this coming year, what word would draw me closer to you? What word, God, if it was shaped into my life this year, if your spirit shaped this word into my life this year, would make me reflect your image in greater ways? When I'm standing here in 2000, getting ready to move into 2019, 1 year from now, what word would have been shaped in my life that makes me reflect you in greater ways? And there's some examples that you might want to consider. Again, I'm not gonna tell you what to put down. I'll share with you here in a moment what word God has prompted me in. But what if you thought about a word like humility? Really? What if instead of you saying, hey, I want to improve my marriage, I want to improve my relationship with my spouse, and I want to improve all these other things, and you try to put together a bunch of New Year's resolutions that you're never honestly going to keep, you begin to say, okay, God, I feel you're prompting me to stir up a spirit of humility in me this coming year. How would humility change your relationship with your spouse? I know you want them to be humble, but what if you became a little bit more humble? How would that change your relationship with your spouse? How would it change a relationship with maybe a child or even your parents? How would that maybe change things? How might it restore a relationship that you have allowed to deteriorate over time because you want to be right and being right has been more important than the relationship? What if humility was able to restore that relationship? What if humility began to invade every area of your life and God stirred up that word in you this year? Or what about joy? What about the word joy? Because you might be entering into 2018 and you're looking ahead and you're going, man, you know what? It's going to be difficult to have joy this year because you know what? I'm recognizing that my role with my parents is going to change. And instead of them taking care of me, I'm going to start being the caretaker this year. And I've watched my friends go through that and it takes something out of you. And so I know joy is going to be difficult this year to do that with honor and to do that with joy. And to maintain joy in my household when I'm giving myself to so many other areas. I know it's going to be difficult. So God, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to make myself available. Would you stir up joy in me this year? What about patience? What if God stirred up patience in you? And how maybe you might have patience with that pill of a boss that you have to deal with every year. But the reality is you're not retiring for 15 more years, so you better figure it out. How might he stir up patience with that child that's gone from, you know, the one that adores and loves you to the one that, man, you just feel like you don't quite understand? How do you move from teenage years to adult children years and try to figure out what patience looks like there? Trust. What if God wants to stir up some trust in you or faith? And if you're a young person, you're asking yourself, where might I go to college? What is it going to look like? And how do you step out and encourage maybe this year? Maybe he wants to stir up some courage in you that you might step into a new role or a new dream or a new passion. And it looks frightful and you're afraid to step into those deeper waters. But what if you just made yourself available and said, okay, God, I feel like you want to stir up courage in me. I can't do this on my own. God, I want to make myself available. Now stir up courage. Give me opportunities to be courageous this coming year. For me, there was this word that came to my mind almost right away as I began to prepare to enter into 2018, and it was the word consistent, and I like that word, but I like words that have maybe a little bit more theological, you know, like roots to it. And so the word that God kind of transitioned me to was the word faithfulness. How do I be faithful in all my relationships? And what I mean by that is there's so many little things. You know, it's easy to be faithful in the big things, right? When Valentine's Day comes along, it's easy to be faithful, you know, and say, hey, let's get my wife a present, right? But what about the day-to-day things? How can I be faithful in making sure that I let Dana know every single day that she is loved and that she is valued and that she is honored? It's really easy to be faithful to my kids when it's Christmas time. I give them Christmas presents, right? You know, and it shows them that I'm, you know, and I'm faithful to encouraging them during those seasons or when they get a good grade. But how do I be faithful moment by moment, every single day to make sure that I'm shaping them? How do I be faithful to their spiritual development? How do I be faithful to making sure that they are becoming men and women after the heart of God? How do I be faithful to this church in such a way that when I'm here and when I'm in the office, my mind is not distracted, but it's focused on how God can shape my heart so then it shapes the congregation's heart? How do I make sure that I'm being faithful with the things that God has given me? Some of us are always looking at and going, okay, in 2018, we're going to grow a bigger business and we're going to have more success and we're going to have more this, but you haven't even been faithful with the things that God's already given you. And so that's my word, faithfulness. How do I be faithful? How will you shape that into me? And God, I'm just gonna make myself available to you. And I want you to bring that word before my heart and mind in all my relationships, in my friendships, in my relationships with my kids, in my relationship with my spouse. I want you that to be at the forefront. When I wake up in the morning, it's gonna be on my lips and it's gonna be on my heart. How will I be faithful today to what God has given and what God has given me to steward? And so you begin, and again, if you're a procrastinator, I've got good news for you. I'd rather you not settle on a word in the next, you know, 8 or 10 hours or whatever it is. I'd rather you wait and even go into the new year seeking God's direction over the first couple of weeks and say, God, what word would you have shaped in me this year? Words are powerful. Words have started revolutions. Words, we speak them to each other when we make vows to one another. Words can be incredibly powerful. And so then once God has kind of prompted you in that word where you're not just content with the foundation, but you want God to build something on that foundation this coming year, then I want you to write that word down, write it out and place it somewhere prominent. Maybe it's by your bathroom mirror where you get ready in the morning. Maybe it's in your car. Maybe it's at your work, at your desk at work. But I want you to place that word somewhere. So again, it's placed before you every single day. The third thing I want you to do is I want you to build a team. Who are you going to share this word with? Who can encourage you with it, pray for you about it, hold you accountable? I mentioned earlier on in the service that we're launching our groups this coming season. Man, if you don't have a network of people who are encouraging you and you're growing with, again, we are a church that believes that greater transformation happens in circles than it does in rows. And so often we have been very faithful, or our habit is to just show up on Saturday night or Sunday morning, and we're faithful in that. But God would say, man, if you would switch and be faithful in gathering with other people who can know you and grow with you, you would see even greater transformation. And so who's your team gonna be? something that I didn't talk about last night, but just in conversation on the patio after service that I thought was kind of cool. One of our Saturday night attendees said, hey, you know what? I think it'd be great if we shared these with other people in the congregation. And so there's a thread started on our Facebook page, on our New Life Facebook page, and you can go on there. And I've already posted my word. I know a couple of people have posted their words. You can go on our Facebook page and you can post your word just as a way of saying, you know what? This is where God wants to grow me this year. And we want to encourage you to do that. What would it look like if instead of a year from now in 2018 going in 2019, we said, well, I made those resolutions last year. Nothing really worked out. Didn't really do anything. Guess I should make the same ones again. What if instead we said, okay, God, you've laid a foundation in my life, a foundation of freedom, a foundation of salvation, a foundation of a new life, a life and life to its fullest. God, this year, I want you to build upon that foundation. Show me, God, where you want to build upon that foundation and how you want to do it. Shape a word in my life. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning? Heavenly Father, we come to you, God, and God, new years bring fresh starts and new beginnings and anticipation. And so, God, my prayer is that a year from now, we collectively as the people of God and we as individuals would reflect your image in greater ways and have grown closer to you because we have allowed you to build upon our foundation. We've allowed you to shape us in greater ways, that you would give us a word that's for today. And every day this year, we'd allow you to shape us a little bit more into that word, a little bit more into your image. And so, God, we make ourselves available to you. Use our hands and shape our hands to look more like your hands. Shape our ears to hear your voice and attune them with you. Shape our eyes to see this world in ways that, God, you only see them. Shape our hearts and our passions and our desires to lean more towards your spirit. May we reflect you in greater ways in 2018. May we be the people of God. We ask all these things in Christ's powerful name. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? As always, we'll have our prayer team at the front. They would love to pray with you or intercede with you. If you've got something going on in your life, that they could do that. As well as myself and some of our leaders will be on the patio. We'd love to meet you and find ways to help you connect beyond the weekend worship experience. As you leave today, may you go to trust that God is going to shape in your heart today what he wants to do in your life tomorrow. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen and amen. Grace and peace to you. Hope to see you again next week.